Lord, we thank you for all these examples of faith you give us in your word so we can use them as examples that we need to follow. Lord, thank you for your magnificent word. Thank you for the glorious things you teach us. We're so grateful to be so honored to have this magnificent book that we call the living word of the living God so we can learn what you like and what you don't like. Since you're our God and our Lord, we want to do things that pleases you. And when we please you, then you do things that make us happy. And Lord, we praise you and thank you for all these wonderful things. We bless you and praise you and worship you today and tonight. As we come to your Bible study, may you teach us your word. May you give us great and wonderful revelation. May you confirm the words we teach with many signs and miracles and wonders following. Lord, we want to see all the gifts of the Spirit in operation in our lives, in all of our lives. Lord, we want to walk in faith and obedience to your word. So when we pray, you will show up and answer our prayers and do great and mighty things. And we give you all the praise and the glory and the honor for everything tonight. Now, Satan, I rebuke you and command you to get your hands off of every one of us and that you not steal a word out of any one of our hearts or our minds tonight, that you will get out. And Lord, that devil cannot steal any words out. And Lord, that you will take the Holy Spirit and you'll lock your words in our minds and our hearts so that we will not sin against you, but we will walk in faith. We praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to be talking, continuing going through the Word of God on some of these places where Jesus was talking about what happened when people had faith. Because if Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God, we need to know what faith is. If we don't know what faith is and we don't please Him, you'll be like I was the first half, or at least half of my life. I never got to see the Lord answer a prayer or do anything wonderful. And I didn't know He did. And so that's kind of where I come from. But that was pretty well normal. Most churches I have been associated with over my life, that's the way it always was. And we knew that God was real, but we never did really get to see Him do very much. And so it shouldn't be like that now, I realize. So anyway, we'll start right there in Luke 8:25. Luke 8:25, we'll go there. And Luke 8:25 in the King James, and He said unto them, where is your faith? And they being afraid wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Now then, that story, of course, over there in Luke chapter 8, as well as in Mark 4, that story is found. Jesus was not afraid at all. I mean, he had no fear. He was walking in perfect love, and perfect love cast out all fear. So he was laying up in the boat asleep, even though the boat was being thrashed around. And you know, it couldn't have been a very big boat. I mean, you know, if you've ever even been on a small, what you'd call a cruiser or something, you know, a 24 or 30 foot boat, that's not a normal boat. You get one of those out on a pretty rough, stormy night, that booger's flopping around pretty heavy. You know, so how it makes you wonder how in the world he slept in that thing. Because I would have had trouble sleeping in that thing, I guarantee you. But there wasn't nobody else sleeping in it, but he was. And when it got so rough, they thought the boat was going to sink. They went and got him and said, Master, do you not care that we perish in the storm? And he gets up, and you have to remember, he's a man, and he is demonstrating to you and me the principles of faith and what we can do as obedient sons of God walking in obedience to the Word of God, walking in a love relationship. Now, he had no sin in him, did he? There was no sin in Jesus. So this is the goal for you and I, to walk with no sin and walk in absolute love so these same principles will work for us. Now then, some people just have a big hard time believing that if they don't have a hard time believing Jesus spoke to the wind and the sea and it was calm. But he spoke to his own disciples and said, where is your faith? In other words, why didn't you speak to the winds and the sea? And they, being afraid, now what's the problem here? They're afraid. They, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? Well, see, he was a man, wasn't he? He was flesh and blood just exactly like you and me. So that means that if he was flesh and blood just like you and me, and if you and I as men and women, if we're obedient to walk in obedience to his word, when we walk in that kind of a love relationship, then we won't be afraid. When the storms of life come, we will not be afraid. And so if we're not afraid, we can speak in the name of Jesus, and these winds and things will still obey us today. Now, you have to be walking in love. Now, I told some of you, talking about being afraid, Cheryl had a vision Monday morning. And I'm going to tell you, Sunday night I was attacked again by the enemy. And, of course, they attacked my left leg again. My left leg began to swell up, and it turned red again. And so we were all praying for my leg and everything Sunday night. It's amazing how he does that on Sunday. But anyway, we prayed for my leg and everything. And we went over to the house, and, of course, you know, Ty, he's a doctor, and he told me some vitamin E I needed to take and a bunch of stuff. He told me some stuff I needed to take. He said, you need to take this because what you've had is a little bit of fat somewhere in one of your arteries turned loose, and said it's caused a blood blockage down there, and you need to take, he told me what all to take, some flax, and then he said, go to Walmart, you can get it, vitamin E. And so I went by and got all the stuff he told me to take. It's all natural stuff. But he said, God made this stuff. It's good for your body. It'll solve these problems. So I said, okay. I'm a man of faith, but I don't mind taking that stuff. So I went by and got the stuff, and I took it and everything, and I went to bed. And man, I mean, I don't know what kind of a reaction I had to that stuff. But man, I began to break out in a sweat. And I woke up in the wee hours of the morning, and I mean my bed on my side halfway over to where Cheryl was soaking wet. I mean soaking wet. I have never sweated that much in my life. I mean the sheet was soaking wet. And so I got up and went in and took another batch of these pills and come back and laid back down there. And she said, man, are you wet? And I said, I mean I'm wet. She said, the bed is soaking wet. I said, yes, it is. But I've never sweated this much in my life. So anyway, I lay there for another 2 or 3 hours, and it was about 4 o'clock in the morning. And I turned over, I woke up just a little bit, and I turned over, my bed was dry. And I thought, well, the bed's dried out, so I'm doing okay. And I was just a little bit warm, so I pulled the cover down off of my side just a little, the quilt, and pulled my hand out from under it and laid my hand up on top. And I was trying to be real careful because I didn't want to move anything, you know, to wake Cheryl up. I wanted to be real careful. I wanted to make sure she got her sleep. And just as I put my hand on top of the cover, she screamed. I mean, she started screaming, and she started coming backwards across the bed and just ran over me. I mean, she just... come right up on top of me. I said, honey, I said, are you having a bad dream? Something wrong with you? She said, there's a black man standing beside the bed. And it was a spirit. A black spirit of death standing beside the bed. And she saw it. And I said, you foul spirit of hell, out of here in the name of Jesus. Bam. Instantly gone. But I mean, it scared her. Now, I told her, I said, this is where you and I need to get. We need to get to the point, it makes no difference what appears in our house or in front of us as Christians. We need to get to the point where we're walking in such divine love that there's absolutely no fear in us at all. Do y'all all agree with that? Now, because, see, in these last days, the Lord says in his word, the devil's going to do such things and show such signs and wonders that if it were possible, he would even deceive us, the elect. So, you know, if one of these things appears to you, don't be afraid of it. After all, always remember, how much power and authority did Jesus give us over the enemy? Hey, that don't leave him much, does it, Michael? Now, only if we step into fear does he have some. So, see, if we can walk in love, I mean, it's kind of hard, Debbie, if you wake up in the morning and there's a black, looks like a black man standing right beside your bed looking right at you. It'd be a little hard to be cool, wouldn't it, girl? It'd be a little hard. Even if you had a man laying beside you that was your husband, still be a little hard, because it was hard for Cheryl. But I had no idea what she saw, but I'm telling you, she was screaming at the top of her lungs in our bedroom. Wow. And then when I heard what it was, well, of course, we rebuked every spirit and drove every spirit away, and everything was fine. No problems. But you've got to recognize the fact that we as Christians, the devil comes to intimidate us. Don't let him. You know, don't let him get to where you can be as solid as a rock. Walk in divine love. If the devil walks in, he says, Cliff, I've just decided I've come to kill you tonight. You ought to look over and say, oh, it's just you, Mr. Devil. I have all power over you. Just go ahead and get out. Big, great, much greater is he that's living in me than you. So I'm just going back to sleep. My big brother's going to take care of you. You're my light work. And just go back to sleep. Now, that's the kind of love we should be walking in, and that's the kind of power we should be walking in. But it's going to take some work to get there. I'll tell you for sure, it takes some work to get there. But we can get there. We can get there. But I will have to say, it was a very, very unique experience Monday morning at 4 o'clock when your wife's laying beside you and all of a sudden she's screaming and she's crawfishing coming back across that bed and she runs plumb over you. I'm telling you, we were all wide awake in our house for a little while. Usually at 4 o'clock in the morning, I can't wake my honey bunny up. I mean, I could tap her on the shoulder, I could pat her on the back, I could do anything I wanted to do. And if she finally woke up, she might say, uh-huh, what do you want? And I said, are you awake? No, I'm not awake. At 4 o'clock in the morning, she's not awake, that's for sure. Oh, goodness gracious. But let me tell you, when she opened her eyes, looked out there, saw that black spirit standing in front of her, let me tell you, she was awake. And she was awake, violently awake. Oh, my goodness gracious. What a way to wake up in the morning. Not exactly the way you want to be waking every morning, is it? No. But anyway, this same thing happened when Jesus asked these men, where's your faith? And in they being afraid. So when we're afraid, we can't walk in this kind of faith. But you need to be able to get over that. Now, we'll have to say, the next morning, about 10 o'clock, whenever I talked to Ty, he wanted to know how my leg was getting along since he's a doctor. I told him it was much better and I was doing all right. He said, we had a very unique experience in our house last night. I said, oh, what happened? He said, Cheryl woke up and the spirit of death was standing over our bed. A black spirit of death. I said, boy, this guy gets around. He said, what do you mean? I said, he was in our house this morning too at 4 o'clock. So Bo Cheryl saw him Monday morning. Isn't that amazing? Cheryl woke up, she saw him. And Cheryl woke up and she saw him. So anyway, the devil's showing up, isn't he? He's showing up lots of places. So in these dreams, but the Lord said that, you know, dreams and visions would increase greatly in the last days. You know, all kinds of signs and wonders and things would happen. So as the enemy increases his assaults upon us, the Lord will increase his retaliation against the devil through us. So we need to have no fear. Our king is far bigger than the enemy. So, you know, there's no reason for us to be afraid. I mean, if all power is given to us over him and he don't have any, there ain't no use to be in a sweat. You know, if I got a 50 caliber machine gun and he don't even have a pocket knife, I'm not afraid. Are you? You know, I mean, it's no big deal. You know, I've often thought about that. I think, you know, whenever we were over there in Vietnam, you're carrying around a great big old rifle of some kind or whatever it was that you carried, depending on who you were. We carried AR-16s back in those days. But I think, you know, if you had an AR-16, which you could shoot a You could take one of those rifles and walk up to an 8-inch concrete block wall and shoot 6 or 8 bullets in it, and you could crawl through a concrete wall where you shoot it with a concrete block wall with that gun. You know, and some of those AR-15s they had over there, if you hit a man in the shoulder with one of those and hit a bone, it'd blow his arm completely off of him. I mean, they were not toys we were using. Can you imagine having a weapon like that? And you walk up out there, and there's you and 50 soldiers that are armed like that, and there's one little enemy out there, and he don't have a thing, not even a uniform on. He's totally naked, and he walks up to you guys. He said, "You guys all give me your guns. I'm in charge here. I'm taking over." That's kind of what you'd do, wouldn't you, Cliff? You'd kind of laugh at him. Well, you know what we do as Christians when the devil shows up and tells us he's taking over? We lay our guns down and let him have them. Instead of retaliating with the word. But that's what we need to learn to do, is take the word of God and retaliate and not be afraid like these men were. I mean, Jesus was trying to tell them, "I have just spoken to the winds and the waves," and it quietened down. It became quiet and gentle. Seemed to me like he said in John 14:12, "To anyone that believes in me, not only shall you do what I have been doing, but greater things than these that I've done shall you do in my name." So do we believe the king meant what he said? Okay, so then we need to start living like that, don't we? We need to start making sure we walk holy in obedience to his word, walk in love, so all these attributes will work. Because if you're living in the devil's world, you can't walk in God's power. He's not going to share it with you. And that's what people don't understand. You know, they're out there sinning, not knowing what sin is. You know, well, we just tell a little lie once in a while. Well, yeah, that'll separate you from God. You know, or you just do a little bitty something once in a while. You're just taking pencils home from the office. Nobody knows. Yeah, God knows. You know, and that'll separate you from the power of God. You know, so a lot of people just don't see this as sin. You know, my company owes it to me. No, they don't owe it to you. They pay you a paycheck every week. That's all they owe you, right? And if they pay you that paycheck, if they say you work for me for $100 a week or $2,000 a week, whatever they offer to pay you, or $10,000 a week, I don't know. Well, whatever they tell you they're going to pay you, when they pay you Saturday or Friday or whatever, they don't owe you nothing. You've given them a week's service, it's done, they don't owe you nothing. So if you take a pencil home, you're guilty of theft. You know, and that's kind of hard for us to grasp, you know, that we need to buy everything ourselves and not steal it. So, but anyway, if you walk in that kind of love and faithfulness to the Lord, then he will share this kind of power with you so you can speak to the winds and the waves and they will obey you. And that's really nice to know. Now then, let's go over here to Luke chapter 12, verse 28. This goes to show you, in Luke 12:28 shows us how little we really trust God. It says, "If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith?" We go around wondering, "Oh God, where are you? Oh Lord, I don't have anything to wear to church tomorrow." And most people, you know, I can think especially, and I really think my wife is a little bit like my daughter was, you know, Cheryl. She has so many beautiful clothes. She has trouble figuring out which one. She has to start on Saturday night to figure out which one she's going to wear for Sunday morning. You know, and so she comes out sometimes and has me help her. "What do you think about this? I think that's beautiful." "No, no, no, I don't like that. How about this one?" "Oh, honey, I think that pair, that matches, that's beautiful." "No, but that's not the one I want." And so after we go down about 6, and after I said, "I think every one of them beautiful," she said, "Well, I'll agree with you, I like that one too." So she's got so many beautiful things to choose from. Isn't it amazing what we have today? You know, we have so many clothes. In fact, I was listening to a dentist up in Louisville years ago, and he came up and spoke at the Baptist church one Saturday morning. And he said, "You know, I was raised in China." And he said, "When we got up in the morning to go to school, we didn't have to worry or be concerned about what we were going to wear to school because we just had one change of clothes. You wore that one change of clothes. That's all you had. The same thing every day. One change is all you had. And he said when you went outside, you didn't have to worry which car you were going to drive to school. Because he said you had nothing except 2 feet to walk on. You know, no bicycles, no nothing. You know, he said, when I came to America and I saw people had 2, 3, and 4 cars in the driveway. And when I began to go to people's houses and they had a closet full of clothes, I thought, wow, this is where I want to live in America. And of course, he's been a dentist now. He went to school, got his dentist license or whatever, and he's been a dentist in Louisville for many years. The guy's, in fact, I think he's maybe just a little older than I am, but he's a very, very professional dentist and been very successful. And he's got a lot of nice things. But to think a guy that at one time had nothing now has so much, but he got it in America. See, people in America don't realize how blessed we are and the opportunities we have if you're willing to get out there and do something and serve the Lord. And of course, that was the first thing that man did. He made Jesus Lord of his life when he came to America. That's number one. So we're all concerned about how much, whether we have anything to wear or not. And the Lord clearly says, I even take care of the grass. No problem. So, and you're a whole lot worth a whole lot more than grass to me. So I will take care of you. Then he says in Luke 17:5, the apostles said unto him, Lord, increase our faith. You know, a lot of people want you to increase their faith. But look what the Lord says, his answer there in verse 6. When they said, Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith, as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the roots and be planted into the sea, and it should obey you. That's if you had faith. Now then, we've learned in other places in the Word of God, how does faith come? By hearing the Word of God. Romans 10:17. If faith comes by hearing the Word of God, why is it that when we were in church, we never hardly, or at least it didn't stick? Maybe, John, if they told me it just didn't stick. If they told me, read the Word of God out loud so your faith will increase so you can do mighty miracles for God. If they ever told me that, it didn't stick. I didn't get it. I mean, I guess I was pretty dense. But I'm going to tell you tonight, if you want to see God do miracles and you want faith, you're going to have to read the Word of God. And the place to start would be in the book of Matthew and read all the way through the book of Revelation. And that's your new covenant. Read those books from Matthew to Revelation over and over and over and over and over. Or put them on tape or CD and listen to them out loud. Don't read them silently. And don't sit down and say, okay, I kick my feet up here and I put my Bible in my lap and at halftime I'll read a little Bible. Or at the quarters, you know, when they're flipping back from, or when they're going to a commercial, I'll read a little. No, forget it, forget it, forget it. God's not going to teach you much like that because you're not giving Him no time. You know, you need to give Him the time. So you need to turn off the TV and give Him an hour, a good solid time. And if you got to watch a football game, go watch a football game if you got to watch it. But if you want to read it and read it out loud and then quote it over and over and over. And as you quote it over and over and over, it will begin to stick. And as it begins to stick in your heart, then you'll begin to really have that word hidden in your heart. So then when the enemy comes against you, it'll be in there to come out of your mouth instead of the worldly stuff. The time is counting down. Every one of us started out one day at zero. And then 9 months later, we were born. And our life, instead of counting up, it's counting down. You had planned, who knows, 70, 80, 90 years God had planned for Michael. Now then, it depends on the road you take in there is whether you get that 70, 80, or 90 or not. You know, it depends on if you stay on the narrow path, you might make that 90, which he had planned for you, and do great and wonderful things for him. But if you listen to the enemy drawing you off to the side, you might step off that narrow path into that snake pit, and you might die at 30. You know, that wasn't God's will, but it's possible to do that. So your life is counting down all the time. It's just like when you get in your car and you fill it up with gas. When you start down the road, the gas gauge starts going down. And it's going down. And it's down. And it's down. And sooner or later, it's going to need to be refilled. But your life cannot be refilled. You know, you'll take that life, and every hour you pay, it's whatever you paid, whatever you did for that hour, it's gone. And you can't replenish it. It's over. So make sure you do something worthwhile with those hours. But the Lord told those people there, if they had faith as a grain of mustard seed, they would say unto the tree. Now then, if you have faith, what will you do? You will say the proper things. And as you say things, it will cause other things to happen as you speak those words of faith. And what that will do, that will increase your desire to want to speak more of the Word of God and your desire to study the Word. And the more you study the Word, the more faith you will have, because your knowledge will come up and you begin to say great and awesome things. Now, if you don't ever speak the Word of God, you don't ever have faith to act on the Word of God, then you won't ever have any faith that'll produce anything that'll be worthwhile. You got to believe the Word, and then you have to act on the Word. Somebody calls you and says, you know, I've got an aunt or an uncle or a friend or whatever that's having trouble, and they're over in the hospital or whatever. Would you come over and pray for them? And you say, sure, I'll be happy to. You go over there, and the first thing you do is you ask the person, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, where do you go to church? Well, I don't go. Okay, right here is a critical point for you to recognize. If they don't go and they say they're a Christian, what are you to do at that point? Are you begin to try to preach them to them and teach them what they've done wrong? How long do you think it's going to take you to teach them what faith is? A long time. So that's not a good time to do it, especially when they're sick. So the thing you need to do at this point, if they say they're a Christian, they've been out of church, they've not been serving the Lord, they've not been doing what God's supposed to, but they know they should have been in church. Well, then this is where you just depend upon God's mercy. Because you know you're not going to teach them in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 hours how to walk in faith. You may not have 2, 3, 4, 5 hours to stay there with them. So you just say, you know, the King. He's the King. And he knows your heart. And I don't. But he gave me this power. He said, freely I've given you this power. Freely give it away. So you need healing. So Jesus said in his word, in Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, for me to lay my hands on you and rebuke the spirits, and they will leave you, and he will heal you. And that's what I'm going to do for you. Can I do that for you? And you know, nearly every time they'll say yes. Now then, who is the healer? It's Jesus. Does he know their heart? Yes. Do you know their heart? Now, you don't have a clue where they come from. You don't know where they've lived. You don't know why they were out of church. You don't know how they might have been abused. You have no idea. So you can't stop right now and start saying, well, you dummy, if you'd have been in church all the last 20 years, you wouldn't be down where you're at right now. Well, now see, you got to be careful there, because if you go there, you step into judging. And who's the judge? Jesus, the King. Definitely not you and me. He said, if you judge them like that, then I'll have to judge you. And so you don't want to go there. So you just be merciful to them. We had a case just like that this last week, and we went over, and that was the exact case. And the man was in his early 50s. He was almost blind. He couldn't stand. You know, he was having all kinds of physical problems. He had had all kinds of surgeries.
Diabetes.
Oh, yeah, and he had diabetes. And he'd had several surgeries he had in his back and his side and his stomach. His kidneys had failed. Liver gave him a trouble one time. He had to have surgery on his throat. All kinds of things, you know. And he'd begin to tell us about some of the things he did and everything else. And, you know, I just wanted to say right there, you know, boy, I could tell you why all these things happened to you. But I didn't say a thing. Not a thing. Because I thought, you know, there's not any way I can tell him all these things so quick.
He called today and he's coming to church Sunday.
Wow, praise the King. What did he say he was feeling like?
He was feeling great and he loves everybody here that doesn't know us. This guy's Navy SEAL too. He was a Navy SEAL. And he wanted to know what Sozo meant.
He wanted to know what?
Sozo.
Oh, what Sozo meant? Well, I will tell you, of course, you know, we were so gentle to him and so kind to him. And when he said he didn't go to church, and he hadn't been in years, but he knew he needed to be. He said, I was raised up a Catholic, and said, I learned the Bible forward and backward. Well, he learned the things that they teach you in a Catholic school, which is not the whole Bible, just pieces of it. Like all Christian schools teach you just certain things, memory verses. But he learned those. But he said, when we got out of school, you know, he said, I went to the Navy and, you know, so, and he became a SEAL and went to Vietnam. And of course, he had 20 shrapnel blasts in his body while he was over there, you know. So he's lived a pretty rough life, you know. He's really had some heavy stuff, you know. And he said, you know, he had to do a lot of things over there that he didn't want to do. But, you know, I don't know what it meant. But Navy SEALs, he said, you know, we were trained, if your buddy in front of you got killed and fell right there, just stepped over him and kept going. You didn't even stop. He said, if you did, you know, that's what they trained us. You know, you were trained to be a killer. That's what a Navy SEAL is trained to be, killers. That's what they're trained to do. They have no love. They don't teach them nothing about love. Just they go forth with special deals, and that's what he was. So I know what the guy went through. And a little, not near all of what he went through. But all we did was went over there and loved him. And we laid hands on him and said, the Jesus we serve gave us this power and told us to pray over you and he'd heal you. And so we laid hands on him and prayed for him. And even before we left, we were there probably 30 minutes. Before we left, he was already seeing. You know, he could see the Cheryl smile. And then when we finally got ready to leave, he said, well, I believe I feel good enough to walk y'all to the car. So he got up, he could stand, he walked out to the car, and we must have talked another 15 or 20 minutes out there. And he said, you know, I'm going to come to y'all's church. So see, we just went over and loved him. I didn't condemn him. I didn't tell him all the things he had done wrong. I just let God do that, you know, because I can't be the judge because I don't know where the guy come from. But I mean, just on the surface, it looked like there was a lot of things he was doing wrong, which is probably true. But the Lord will have to convict him of each one of those things, just like he has to you and me. The thing about it is, when you don't know someone and they're sick and afflicted and they say they're Christians, God just told us to go freely give away what he give us. He just told us to go lay hands on them, drive the spirits away, and he'd heal them. And so since Jesus is the one that knows his heart, by going over there, laying our hands on him, rebuking the spirits, and asking the Lord to be merciful and heal him, man, we were already seeing an awesome miracle before we left. I mean, isn't it wonderful to see God show up when you go somewhere like that? And then have the guy call today, and he's already happy, and he's doing so much better, and he's just praising the Lord. It's wonderful serving Jesus, isn't it, Rosemary? It's wonderful seeing the King do these wonderful things. I just can't imagine a church that don't ever see a miracle no more. We get to see them all the time. I don't know. Maybe they all go out to eat on Sunday night and do everything. Maybe they don't go out and pray for the sick. I don't know. But when you go out and pray for them, the Lord sure does do some wonderful things. Praise the King. Now, that's a great praise report. I'm going to be looking forward to seeing Tom Sunday. That'll be wonderful. Wow. That'd be wonderful. He comes up here strong and can see good and give his testimony and everything. That'll be an awesome testimony. Wow, praise the King. Now then, and after the Lord told them what to do to say the right thing and their faith would increase, verse 19, in verse 17, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way, your faith has made you whole. Now then, faith in the Word of God, whenever Jesus tells us to rise, that's why that song, Rise and Be Healed. Did you know when people pray for people? I think about Johnny, that man down there in Louisiana, when I prayed for him, sitting there on the front row with both legs stretched out, and I prayed for him, before I prayed for him, I asked him what had happened. He said, well, 21 months before, a tree fell across the tractor I was driving and crushed both of my legs. He said, they'd done surgery on my knees, but he said, they put these steel braces on me and said, I've not walked a step in 21 months, and the doctors say, I'll never walk again. I said, but Jesus said in John 14:13, we can ask the Father in the name of Jesus for anything, and he'll do it. Just think of that awesome statement. But now you got to believe it. So I said, do you believe that? He said, yes. So I laid my hands on him, prayed the prayer of faith for him. I said, now do you believe? He said, yes, I do. I said, then let's take the steel off and rise and walk. So see, now he's got to act. What if he says, but Thurman, I mean, the doctor said, my knees are crushed. I mean, it ain't going to do no good for me to take these braces off. I can't walk. Then what should I do, Michael? Just go on to the next guy, right? But he said, okay. And so he unbuckles the first one and throws it down in the floor. And he pulls his knee up and bends it. And then he takes the other one off and throws it off and pulls that leg up and bends it. And then I reached out, and he's still sitting there kind of looking dumbfounded at them two bent knees. I reached out and grabbed him by the hand. I said, get up and walk in Jesus' name. I mean, be a little forceful with them. Give them a little encouragement. And, of course, he's come up. And when he come up, he said, oh, my knees hurt. I said, of course, the devil's going to make it hurt. But you don't go by what you feel. I said, go by what's written. I said, come on, take a step. And I jerked him. And he took a step. I said, take another one and another one. I said, now you're on your own. I turned him loose and he walked around that podium 3 times and broke down that aisle and run screaming both hands in the air saying, God is awesome. You know, when you get to see something like that, after that's over, you stand and you're watching this guy walk around a year later. Cheryl and I go back down and she sees him and everything. And you see this guy walking down the aisle, carrying his Bible, coming to church. You think, did that really happen? Or has this guy always been like that? It seemed like a dream world, you know it? It seemed like a dream to think that you have the privilege to pray a prayer to see God do something like that. Isn't that awesome, John? Wow, what a privilege to see the King show up like that. And he can do it so easy. I bet the King didn't even pop out in a sweat when he done that, do you? No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, just think, who knows what else he was doing in the meantime. Plus, he's running the universe over here on the side, keeping the stars and the sun and all that stuff in motion. And he got all them little things going on, you know, on the side, John. He's just taking care of us kind of over here in a little old bitty corner. He always has time for us, praise God. And the beautiful part about it, he has time for you and me as if we were the only child he had. I wish I could do that with my children, don't you? Wow. Cheryl has noticed out there since we've got our third little grandbaby now that Caitlin, she comes over and gets grandmother more often and she wants her to play because, and she even told grandmother, yesterday, I guess it was her day before yesterday, whenever they'd run in and everything, and she said, well, why don't you get your dad to do that with you? And she said, he don't have time for me anymore. But now, see, that's not true. The day before, he had taken the evening off and come got her and tuck her somewhere, just him and her. But today, he's not doing anything with her. Now, how many of you know little girls want daddy or whatever to be all the time? All the time. I mean, he doesn't have time for me. Already forgot the day before, only the day before, he comes home, takes a few hours off and takes her somewhere and gets her something or buys her ice cream or just spends a few hours with her, just him and her, go somewhere by herself. But she's already forgot the next day. So
they built a kite
together, yeah, and flew a kite, yeah. So, but now today she needs grandmother because daddy ain't got time for her, you know, because there's two other babies in the house. Now, of course, little Preston, you know, that was had all the attention now is a little girl that's getting the attention. And now then he's not getting all the attention. So he's kind of like, what kind of deal is this? You know, used to when I cried, everybody jumped, and now nobody pays any attention to me anymore. What a sad world we live in, right? What a sad world. Everybody wants all the attention, right, Cliff?
That's it.
But thank God, for God, when we cry out, he can have time for us, can't he? All the time we want, and that's a beautiful thing. But we can't do that. We can only be in one place at one time. But praise the Lord. Now then, and Luke 18:8. This is a statement which the more I walk in faith now, the more I wonder exactly what the Lord is going to find when he comes. Because I know what he's going to find if he comes anytime soon. It says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Well, if he came today, how much faith would you find today? You think that he wouldn't find very much? I don't think he would find very much at all. Because, you know, I don't think we know what the word faith means. I didn't. I certainly did not know what it meant. I mean, if you'd have asked me 20 years ago, 30 years ago, do you have faith? I'd have said, yes, I have great faith. I didn't know what great faith was, you know. Great faith saw the dead raised. You know, great faith saw the winds and the storms stop. Great faith was walking on the water. You know, had I done any of those things? Absolutely not. I didn't know if anybody else had ever done them either besides Jesus. So I didn't know what faith was. But if the Lord were to come today, I wonder what he would say to you and me about our faith. Wow. Whenever his own disciples, which had been casting out demons and healing the sick, and yet they couldn't heal the little boy with the epilepsy, when Jesus walked up, when the man says, Lord, I brought my son to your disciples, and they could not cure him. And he looked at them and said, you wicked and perverse bunch, how long am I going to have to put up with you? Ooh, can you imagine him saying that to you and me? I mean, wow. Oh, my goodness gracious, Lord, be merciful to us, your children. Be merciful to us. Help us that we have faith. Because, Lord, if we really had real faith, we would be doing such great and awesome things. Because the Lord says over there in Daniel, he said, them that know their God shall be bold as lions and do great things. If you really know your God. So what does that tell us about what we know about our God? Not very much. How many people do you know today that you consider to be a bold person that'll go out there and pray for people and expect God to do great and mighty things when they pray? How many do you know? Probably just a few, don't you? Just a few. Just a few people in this church, right? Yeah, so Cheryl says the people in this church, she's, I don't know them anywhere else, but there's some in this church. And there is some in this church. Praise God, because we get to hear of these wonderful testimonies. But can you imagine? Can you imagine the Lord? In fact, I had an humbling experience. There was a man that graduated from a 5-year seminary, came to me, and he said that when I graduated from seminary and started really studying the Bible, he said, especially when I'm studying the parts in the scriptures where the men did great things, cast out demons and healed the sick and and cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and all these kind of things. He said, Lord, I've never seen anybody do any of these things. He said, is there anybody alive in this area that has this kind of faith that could teach me how to do these things? He said, if there is, Lord, would you please guide me to him? And this man told me, the Lord spoke to him audibly and called my name. He said, Thurman Scrivener. He said, Lord, I don't know Thurman Scrivener. He said, his name is Thurman Scrivener. And he said, Lord, Thurman Scrivener, I never heard of this. Who is Thurman Scrivener? The Lord said the third time, Thurman Scrivener. And so he said, I never heard of you. I had no idea who you were. But he said, three times the Lord called your name to me. And so he said, a few days later, somebody handed me a tape and it had your name on it. And he said, that's the name the Lord told me about. So many couldn't wait to hear this tape. And then he called, he got a bunch of stuff. And after he got the stuff and began to listen to it for a few months, his faith level went way up. And he came over here a few times to church, didn't introduce himself to me for a long time. But he said, my daughter, I think he said 21 or 22-year-old daughter, had moved to California since she'd been out there a while. And she called me one night, and she was crying so profusely, saying, Daddy, just crying. And I said, honey, what's wrong? And said, she kept crying. He said, would you please be quiet and tell me what's wrong? Said, she kept crying. Finally, I told her, would you quiet down, please, and tell me what's wrong? He said, Daddy, I got the feeling bad, and I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, I have a brain tumor. And she's only like 21 or 22. Now you can understand why she's hysterical, right? Because she has no knowledge of the word. He said, I thought you said you were a Christian, honey. She said, well, Daddy, I'm a Christian. What's that got to do with it? He said, everything. Said, as children of God, I've now learned we have power and authority over that devil that's doing that. So he said, no problem. I said, all your sins repented of, and you're walking in obedience to God's word? She said, well, yes, Daddy. He said, then I'm going to pray a prayer of faith for you, and I'm going to quote the word of God, and I'm going to guarantee you Jesus is going to heal you. She said, Daddy, you're going to guarantee me God's going to heal me? He said, yes. She said, wow. So he said, I prayed the prayer of faith, quoted the word of God, and said, my daughter said, well, Daddy, next Thursday, I've got to go back to the doctor, and they're supposed to tell me how extensive the surgery is going to have to be. He said, go ahead and go, and it's not going to be there. He said, Thursday night, my daughter screamed, this is hysterical on the other side. She'd been to the doctor, they checked her, done everything in the world, could not find a thing. She was completely healed. Now, see, the Word of God works for anybody that believes it and will act on it, right? He said, my daughter had a real problem believing that he could guarantee God's word. But he said, I told her, I've been taught by a man that said, if God said it, if he guaranteed it to us, we ought to at least guarantee it to the person we're praying for. Amen. It works, don't it, Ray? And so he said, when I guaranteed it, he said, boy, you talk about making a change in the way my daughter looks at Jesus now. Wow. I mean, that will have an impact on you, won't it? It'll happen. You go to the doctor and find out you've got a brain tumor one day, and 4 or 5 days later, you go back after Daddy guarantees you the Word of God's going to knock that thing out of you. What kind of faith has Daddy developed? He's developed some pretty awesome faith. He's learning the Word. So, that's a wonderful thing and a humbling thing to think about, that God has showed me all these things and allowed me to teach them to people. And then he does those same things to anybody. And many of you in here have been recipients of the same thing. You've acted on God's word, and you've seen answers to prayer that you would never have seen before if you had not heard the word of God like we teach it here. But when you stand on it, you can see God do great and mighty things. He answers prayers of faith. And what's impossible with God? Absolutely nothing. That's it, nothing. So, shall he find faith on the earth? Well, we hope if he comes to our church, he finds some here, don't we? We're going to have some anyway, aren't we, Cliff? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now then, in Luke 18:42, Jesus said unto the man, receive your sight. He says, your faith has saved you or has healed you or made you whole. Have you noticed a kind of a trend here? Whose faith is it that so much of the time is getting it done? Their faith. Now then, if they have, now is it 100% of the time their faith? Nope. Do you remember a case we studied last week that their faith got him healed? Whenever they let the boy down, the cerebral palsy boy down through the roof, it said Jesus saw their faith and he healed the boy because of their faith. So now then, is it possible for you to take your faith and get somebody healed? Yes, I'm going to believe Cliff with all my heart. It was our faith that went over Sunday evening and prayed for the man. You know, that, I mean, I don't think he had very much faith because he'd been out of church. He'd not been in touch with God. The devil had beat up on this young man. This 53-year-old man had beat up on him big time. But God still loves him. He didn't want the devil to beat up on him, did he? But he didn't get in church enough to know. And so he had trained us very well. And so we went over there and just poured out the love of God on this man and just did what God says. Man, I mean, his eyes were better. He was walking. He was doing all kinds of good things. And man, if he called today and told Rosemary he wants to come to church, he must have really been feeling good today. He was really feeling... He was what, Rosemary?
He was seeing better every day.
Seeing better. Yeah. Everything. Praise the King. Thank you, Jesus. That's all I can say, Lord. We praise you and thank you that we serve the King of the universe. You go over and a man can't even see. He's nearly blind. And he's, I mean, before we left last night, he was seeing Cheryl smile. You know, isn't that wonderful? And he couldn't stand and he's walking and everything. God wants that man to serve him and to love him and to be about his business. And wow. What a God we serve. What a privilege to serve a king like that. Amen. It's so awesome to see him do these things. Wow. Then he says here, your faith has saved you. Receive thy sight. And in Luke chapter 22, verse 32, now this is a story where that, you know, when you read this in its entirety, it really will open something to you. And when you read Luke 22 there, of course, the verse I'm going to read you is verse 32, but if you read a couple of verses before that, you'll find out that Jesus is talking to Peter, and he says, Peter, Satan has requested to sift you like wheat. I mean, Cliff, the least he could have said is, no, you beast, get out. You can't do nothing to him. But he didn't do that, did he? He said, no, he said, Satan has requested to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Wow. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when you art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now we all know, if we've read the scripture, we know what kind of test Satan put Peter to in the next few days. I mean, he went through some tremendous trials and tests. And during that course of time, Peter, which went out to the garden with a sword ready to cut somebody's head off. I mean, he had to fight at the drop of a hat. He was ready to kill anybody for Jesus. But then a few hours later, they said, oh, you were with him in the garden. He said, I never knew the man. I didn't see him. I don't know who he is. A little bit later, the woman walked in. Oh, you're one of them. Oh, I don't know him. And then later said, you're one of them. He said, he swear down curses upon himself. I tell you, I don't know the man. And when he did that, the rooster crowed and Jesus looked up and looked over at him. And I can only imagine the eye contact. Whenever Peter looked, I can only imagine how that broke his heart. When all those words came back and I can just see the devil standing behind him laughing. That's what that beast is doing to us every day. He is deceiving us, defeating us. That's why we need to learn who we are. And when that beast comes at us, we need to know we are now children of God, empowered with the Holy Ghost and fire. And when that devil comes, he has no power over you. He has no weapons, and you have been given all power and authority over him. Don't let that devil intimidate you. Don't let him do it. Have faith. You know, Jesus If Jesus prayed for Peter, do you think he's praying for you too? I mean, I can't think of anybody I'd rather have pray for me than the king. Now, how does he... Stop and think about this. How does the king pray for you since he's in heaven? How does he pray for you? Who does he pray to? Stop and think about this a minute. He's God. And he's in the Father. He's already up there. But here on earth, who was he? He was a man. He was a man here. So who does God use? How does he pray for us here on earth? He prays through the mouth of another human being. Is he in you, Michael? Then if he's in you and he's in Ray and he's in each one of us, when we pray the prayers of faith, whether we speak in English or tongues, when we speak, it's God praying for us through another person on earth. Now, when people pray in tongues, that's really Jesus praying through them by the Holy Spirit. And then you know he's praying exactly perfect. You can never pray perfect in English, but you can only pray perfect in tongues. So that's the way he prays. So when people walked in a while ago and said, "We heard you had a little attack to the devil the last few days, and we've been praying for you," I said, "Praise God, thank you. I'm blessed when you pray for me. Because if you don't pray for me, I'm in trouble. You know, I need all the prayers I can get." Now then, Acts chapter 3, verse 16. This is an awesome story in Acts 3:16. This is a story in Acts 3 where Peter walks up to the gate and the man that's sitting there that's afflicted and he can't walk, had never walked, and he's got a little bucket out and he says, "Alms, alms, alms." And Peter says, "I don't have no money. But man, I got something a whole lot better than money. I don't have no silver, no gold, but what I got, I'll give it to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." That's an awesome story, isn't it? Now, whose faith do you think got that man healed, John? That's Peter's, wasn't it? He didn't have time to teach that man nothing, did he? He just says, "What I have, I give to you." And he reached down and took that man's hand and grabbed that hand and said, "Get up and walk in the name of Jesus." And he jerked that devil plumb out of him. Who was it that was keeping that man sick and afflicted? The devil. And you have to jerk that devil out of people. That's what I did when I slapped Cheryl on the back this afternoon. Bam! Hit her on the back. Said, "Come out of her. You devil of hell." That's what makes us bad. These are demons that come into us. You've got to knock them out and then get up and go do something. Let them know you're not going to yield to them. They keep messing with you if you do. But in Acts 3:16, they won't know how he did this. And he said, "In his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." And in his name, the name of Jesus, through faith in the name of Jesus, has made this man well. If that statement worked 2,000 years ago, will it still work today? Yes. I guarantee it will still work today. And I use that principle so often when I pray for people. Never do anything without speaking the name of Jesus. And in faith of the name of Jesus will still produce the same results today as it did 2,000 years ago. But until you get used to this, every time you even think about doing something, you can just think. And I'm beginning to believe that the devil can, to a degree, read some of our thoughts. I'm not 100% sure of that. Because I can remember of times when I think, you know, I really believe if I went over there and that man that's sick And I'm not saying this out loud. I'm thinking this. I believe that man or that woman's over sick. Lord, I believe if I go over there and touch them, you'd heal them in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, this thought would come to my mind. But what if he don't? If he wasn't reading my thoughts, how'd he know that? But what if he don't? You're really going to look like a fool. You know it? You know, he's pretty good at that. When you first start at this, you know, he'll have no problem. You know, I mean, you haven't done this very much, or maybe you haven't done it at all. You've never broke through that to really step out in bold faith. And there sits a woman with carpal tunnel sleeves on sitting there. She's having trouble working and closing her arms. And it's like the Lord says, you know, I said if you go over there and cast out them spirits and lay hands on her, I'll heal her. You think, Lord, that would be so wonderful. I would love to see you do that. And you start to get up, and immediately the devil will say, but what if he doesn't? You're really going to look like a fool. And look at all these people around here. They're going to think you're some kind of a religious nut. And then all you got to do is say, but devil, what if he does? What if he does? They're going to think I'm really a religious nut, and that's okay. I don't care what they think. The Word told me what to do, so I'm going to act on the Word. And if you'll act on the Word of God, you'll get to see God do some pretty awesome things. But don't ever listen to that voice that says, but what if he don't? Because if you listen to him, you won't never get to see God do nothing. Never. Never. But through faith in the name of Jesus. Now think, this guy was crippled. This guy had never walked a day in his life. And it was Peter said, if you think it was by my righteousness I got this done, you are dead wrong. But he said it was by faith in the name of Jesus. What was Peter's faith? In the name of Jesus. Now did he know Jesus was righteous and holy to the core? Yeah, because he walked with him for 3.5 years. He knew who he was, the King of Kings. So, man, he had faith, especially after he saw him rise from the dead, and especially after he had 40 more days with him, and especially after he saw him rise and go back to heaven. He said, guys, wow, they're standing there watching him go up, and they're saying, look at this. Nobody's ever done this before. And all of a sudden, the angels were sitting there saying, hey, guys, what are you standing there gazing up into the clouds for? This same Jesus, he's coming again, just like this. So get out there and do something. Stop standing around looking. I can just see Peter now, that great big old bold fisherman. He said, wow, he told us to go cast out devils and to lay hands on the sick and they'll get well. Let me go do something in the name of my King. I let him down before. I denied him before, but that's over. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. And the first time I stepped out there and preached, 5,000 souls came into the kingdom. He said, praise God, I'm ready. Let's go do something. Amen. Isn't that amazing? That man, just a few days after that, I mean, there he was preaching the Word of God. He wasn't locked up in a room no more. Thousands are coming into the kingdom. He's jerking devils out of people. He's walking down the street and said, just let me wave my hand over you and you'll be healed. Because I got that kind of faith in the name of Jesus. Now that's what faith is. That's the kind of faith we want, isn't it? That's the kind of faith we want. Is it available to us? Absolutely. It's available to us. Stop and meditate on that. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Anybody that believes in me, and in here we all believe in Jesus, not only can you do what I have done, but greater things than these shall you do in my name. So remember, we always do it in his name. We don't ever look at our righteousness or our failures. We just do what we do by faith in the name of Jesus. We walk as holy and as obedient as we possibly can in our everyday life so that our life will exemplify him, will honor him. Won't people say, you see that guy right there? If I ever met a man, I thought, walk like Jesus. It's that man right there. I said, that's where you and me want to live, isn't it, Michael? That's where we want to live. That should be the goal of every Christian. You know? And if we do that, then God will use you in a mighty way when you speak in His name. He will do these great and wonderful miracles for you. Then He says in Acts 6:5, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith." Now here they're looking for men of faith. And as they're going along here, I want you to notice, "And the sayings pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost." Now then, when you start looking for men or women to do great things for the Word of God, you want to look for those that are full of faith. How do you know whether a man or a woman is full of faith or empty of faith? Huh? Ask him?
Actions.
Oh, actions. Actions, that's a good way to tell. What, John? Okay, miracles. Okay. The real way you can tell if he's full of faith or not, if faith is the Word of God, then how can you tell whether he's full of faith or not? He's full of the Word of God. Yeah, in other words, if you say, walk down the road and say this, and all you're going out, somebody says, "Yep, I heard the Word of God say this." And they say, "Yeah, that's located, that's in Acts 14:12. Oh, yeah, I heard somebody say something about, that's in Hebrews 3:12. Well, I heard somebody say one time, yeah, that's in Acts 3:16. And then you go on down the road a little further and they say, "You know, I heard somebody say something one time, I have no idea where that's found, but I heard them say this." And you say, "Oh yeah, that's in Matthew 28:14-15. They say, "Wow, do you know everything in the Word of God?" I say, "No, but I'm working on memorizing it." Now when you're full of the Word of God, you're full of faith, right? That's absolutely right. Full. See, this is the difference between the Christians that get to see miracles and those that don't get to see miracles. Philip was full of faith, or full of the Word of God. Now, this is the difference between us today. It's really not a lack of faith, because it took faith to become a Christian. You had to have faith to become a Christian. But it's then a lack of knowledge of the Word of God is the reason you're not full of faith or full of the Word. So if you don't know the promises of God, you can't act on what you don't know. It's not that you don't have faith. You were a Christian and you had faith, you got saved. But now if you don't know you can speak to a mountain and it has to obey you, you don't know you have all power over the devil, you don't know that the devil was defeated, you don't know that Jesus has all victory and all power in heaven and earth given to him, and he delegated to you and made you an ambassador, and he'll honor what you say in his name. If you don't know those kind of things, you can't act on what you don't know, can you? So if you're not full of faith, then you're not going to be full of power. But if you're full of faith, it says here, he was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Now, how many people today, unfortunately, don't believe even in the infilling power of the Holy Ghost? I mean, I hate to say it, but I know of churches today that preach against the infilling power of the Holy Ghost. That's sad, Lord. Lord, if I'm condemning them, forgive me. I'm just stating a fact. I'm not speaking evil about my brothers, but I do know I need to pray for them. They're deceived because they don't know the truth. I mean, the Word of God says, it says, don't leave home without the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus told his men to go lock yourself and pray until the falling and the power of the Holy Ghost comes, and don't you dare come down out of there until he falls on you. When he does, then you can come out and do great things in my name. Well, that's the reason so many people, including pastors today, fall out, get sick, retire, you know, at 55. I mean, it's amazing. The pastors, they can't wait, that are pastors of big churches that struggle and go through life and can't wait till they're 55 or 60 so they can retire and quit preaching. Quit preaching? Man. Paul said, "I got a fire burning in me. I don't care if they pay me or not. I can't control this thing. It's coming out somewhere." You know, if there ain't nobody else out there, if there ain't nobody out the house but Angel, she gets preached to. That's the dog. He did say preach to every creature, didn't he? Every creature. I mean, so goodness gracious, you got to preach. If it's in there, it's got to come out. You know, you can't stop it. That's all there is to it. You know, I mean, if you take people that all they've done is listen to country and Western music, and I used to do that a long time ago, all I listened to for years was country and Western music. Guess what I sing all the time? Country and Western music. That's what I fed in me all the time. That's what come out. It's what you put in you is what come out. I mean, you know, I can remember years ago. In fact, we were in a restaurant somewhere the other night. I don't remember where it was. I think it was a Waffle House. I'm pretty sure it was. And they were playing an Elvis Presley song. Jailhouse Rock. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. And I thought to myself, wow, does that bring back old memories? I hadn't heard that in years. And I can remember when I used to know every word in that song. And I didn't remember but just a few of them. And I thought, I can remember the time when I could sing that song right along with Elvis Presley, sound just like him. It's amazing. I mean, I remember I was on a date with a girl one night, and there was about four or five of Elvis's songs played. And I sang those songs, and she said, my goodness, Thurman, you sound just like Elvis. Well, I mean, I'd practice them over and over and over. You know, why didn't, you know, so what's in your heart comes out your mouth, right, Ray? I mean, that goes to show you where I was spending all my time. It sure wasn't in the Word of God. Back in those days, you'd have said, Thurman, what does Hebrews 4:16 says? I said, Hebrews what? What does Matthew 3:12 say? That's you're talking about the Bible? That's about all I knew back in those days. I didn't know nothing about the Word of God. I had no faith, you know, and I didn't get to see God do anything. But I was a Christian. But it wasn't that I didn't really have a lack of faith. It's because I had no word stored in me. So I wasn't full of faith. But this man here, Stephen, he was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Now, if you get that combination together, you get the Word of God in you and hidden in you, and you get the Holy Ghost in you, and every morning when you wake up, you say, whoa, Lord. You walk into that mirror in there and you look in that mirror and you say, whoa, God, look at that thing that you filled with the Holy Spirit today. Whoa. Say, I may not be much to look at in that mirror right now. My hair is all out this way and I ain't shaved nothing else. But God, you're in me and there's nothing counts except what's in me. I don't go by what I see. I go by what's written. Now I'm going to comb my hair. I'm going to brush my teeth. I'm going to shave that beard off and I'm going to straighten myself up and I'm going to go out there and we're going to kick out some devils and heal some sick and save some lost today in the name of Jesus. That's the attitude we should have every day. You look in that mirror and say, whoa. Look at that. God's in that thing. You know, because God didn't make no junk when he made you, did he? Absolutely not. You're somebody. You need to see yourself like that as a child of the King. You need to be proud of who you are as a child of God. You know, somebody said, man, I think you're the worst looking thing I ever seen in my life. I said, that's okay. You can think anything you want to. Don't make no difference because I ain't trying to please you. All I want to do is look good for my wife and God. That's all I want. That's all I'm trying to please. That's the way to do it, Cliff? You're trying to look good for your wife and God, you know? As long as you got your wife food, she thinks you're handsome. Hey, that's all the world. Who cares what the rest of the women think about you? As long as she thinks you're handsome, that's all you're trying to please, her. And whenever I look over at her and tell her, I said, honey, you're the most beautiful thing I ever seen. I don't tell very many women that, I'll tell you for sure. I may tell them they're nice looking or pretty or whatever, but I don't tell them what I tell this one. You know, you don't go there with those other ladies. You tell her that she's beautiful. But that the Lord, they took a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And, now wait a minute, let's stop and think about that. They took Stephen and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Out of all those men, how many of them was full of faith in the Holy Ghost? How many of those men? How many of those men is the statement made, "We're full of faith in the Holy Ghost." One. Things hadn't changed much today, have they? Only one. All the rest of those were godly men, Christian men. But the scripture says they chose Stephen. And when they said Stephen, he was a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And then the rest of these men were just named. Now the Holy Ghost didn't just put that in there. He put that in there for a reason. What do you think Stephen, what do you think Stephen had done that the rest of these men had not done? Yeah. He had read, he had studied, he had prayed more, he had spent more time with God, and great signs and miracles and wonders followed this man. When you read the book of Acts, you'll see there, if you'll read that story in detail, you'll find out that he went out and healed the palsy. He done everything. Stephen did. A deacon in the church. What was the difference? None of the rest of these men were told they'd done any of these wonderful things, but only Stephen. But what did Stephen have? He was full of faith, or full of the Word of God, and full of the Holy Ghost. How do you stay full of the Holy Ghost? Every morning you ask Him, you ask the Father in the name of Jesus to fill you to overflowing with power of the Holy Ghost. I mean, every day. You know, don't miss a day. I try to never miss a day. Lord, fill me. Lord, I mean, if I think about it at night, I say, Lord, when I'm getting ready to go to bed, I may have used up a whole bunch of the Holy Ghost today because I was really busy doing a lot of things for your kingdom today. I prayed for a lot of people today. I don't know how much of your Holy Ghost I used, but Lord, I want to plug that hose or that cord in me, and I want that tank to be filled up where I sleep tonight. There ain't no devil of hell can get in here. If he does, I'll have no fear of that beast. The Holy Ghost will be all over me, surrounding me. How would you like to get so full of the Holy Ghost and walk in such love that if you just come within 4, 5, or 6, or 8 feet of people, they couldn't stand in your presence, they'd fall on their knees? Do you know of a man, you ever heard of a man that walked on this earth beside Jesus that happened? Yes, sir, I'll tell you a man that walked right here on this earth. Right here on this earth, there was a man by the name of John G. Lake. And there was times in John G. Lake's life, he got so full of the Holy Spirit and power, people could walk in, even other pastors. Some of the men that were really full of the Holy Ghost and power too could get close enough to him to shake his hand. And when they would reach and touch his hand, they would fall on their knees while they were shaking his hands. They couldn't stand in his presence. How would you like to be like that? And they said others would just walk in the door and fall on their knees. Their legs would not hold them up in the same room with John Lake. How would you like to have that kind of an anointing from God? Wouldn't that be wonderful? It would be wonderful. It would be wonderful. But see, he walked in a love affair. He was full of the Word of God. John Lake went to Africa, spent 30 years down there. He was a millionaire here on earth way back in the late 1800s. And when you had $1 million in 1800, you had some money. And he gave every bit of it away, every bit of it away, and trusted God for tickets on a ship with his wife and 7 children to go to Africa. And when they got there with not one penny in hand. You're talking about walking by faith. And before the day was over, he had a big giant house given to him for his wife and all of his children. He spent 30 years down there. He led thousands of people to Christ, built thousands of churches, tens of thousands of miracles happened. He worked night and day for Jesus. Some of the most miracles, awesome miracles ever happened in that man's ministry. He came back to the States, went to the Northeast and Oregon and Portland and all out in there, Washington area, and built what's called the Healing Rooms. And Seattle and Portland, Oregon became the 2 most well cities in the United States of America with over 100,000 confirmed healings because John Lake had opened the Healing Rooms. And that kind of anointing. It's recorded in the records of the United States of America that during John Lake's walk in those cities had virtually no sickness and no disease because of one man's teaching the Word of God to people and teaching people how to do this. And they went out. And he said, when he would teach you how to do this, he would tell you, now I've showed you and taught you, spent a few weeks with you and every day, showed you how to walk in this. Now, here's a person's name that called and said they're sick or they're dying or whatever sickness they got. Now, go out. That's your assignment. And if you can't get them healed, don't come back. That was your goal. You get 100% of them healed or you don't come back. You stay with them till you get them healed. It's a devil. You kick them out. You kick that devil out. And when you get them healed, you bring them back here. And said some people would go out in a matter of an hour or two, they'd be back and have their person healed. Some people would be 3 or 4 weeks later, but they'd come back and they'd have them healed. They stayed with it and with that person until they got them healed. Isn't that amazing? Over 100,000 confirmed miraculous healings through the healing rooms in Seattle and Portland back in the early 1900s. But yet John Lake wore himself out completely, totally serving God. And when he was 65 years old, he came home one afternoon and told his wife, I don't feel well. He went down and sat down, had a stroke, and died at 65. Burned himself out for Jesus Christ. Can you only imagine the rewards the guy got when he got home? He'd done probably more than almost every minister in the Dallas-Fort Worth area has ever done in their entire life. One man. Isn't that amazing what one man can do if he totally gives himself to Christ? Tens of thousands of salvations, tens of thousands of miracles. In fact, John Lake's ministry, the miracles got so powerful. I mean, even like arms growing back and all kinds of wild things. Arms growing up. He said they used to have people that bring, of course, he was a medical doctor. They would bring someone in that had cancer of the leg. And with the x-ray machines they had, they said he would tell them to put the plates on both sides of their leg to x-ray them and leave room for his hand. And he'd put his hand down in there. And he said, now do the x-ray. And they'd do the x-ray and they'd see his hand in there as well as the leg. And the leg is eat up with cancer. And he would say, in the name of Jesus. And they would see every tissue in that leg become alive and convert back to good cells when John Lake spoke in the name of Jesus. And they showed it right on those x-ray machines happen. Is that pretty awesome? When he would lay his hand on a cancer leg and say, in the name of Jesus, it would get well just like that. How would you like to have an anointing from God like that? That's what's available to us. John Lake just gave his life to God and died himself and let God live through him. And this is where these greater works come in. But he gave it all to the Lord. All. Served him. Wow. Read about his life. But he burned himself out by 65 and died. But I'm going to tell you, he had 65 years they counted. He had 65 years that counted. If I ever heard of a man that was a general for Jesus on this earth, I'm going to tell you, John Lake was one of them. A general. He'll be a general in heaven. He won't be a buck private, I can tell you for sure. Wow. What anointing that man had. And to think, I was in church nearly all my life and didn't even know there was such men like that. We don't talk about them guys in the Baptist church. You know, most Pentecostal churches won't even talk about them no more because they don't walk in that either. They're not willing to pay that price either. But man, there's been a few of those guys that have paid that price. And I'm telling you, it's awesome. Those men are out there and God is still using some of those men in a mighty way. And wow, what I love to be one of those guys. I want to get there someday. Remember, you have all power over the devil in the name of Jesus. If you start out every day with the power of the Word of God, full of faith and the Holy Ghost every day, you have no need to be afraid of nothing on this earth. All power is given to you as a police officer, as a businessman or woman, as a secretary, anything, whatever you do. You have no need to be afraid of nothing, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Just don't step into fear, because when you step into fear, you step into the devil's world, and that's when he gets you. But as long as you stay up front with the Holy Spirit and stay full of the Word of God, faith and power, you will have no trouble overcoming the devil and everything he throws at you. But Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we want to thank you and praise you that you're the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. Lord, we're so grateful for your word, for faith in your name, the name that's above every name on this earth, that gives us power over the enemy, that we can speak by faith in your name as long as we get the word stored in our heart, that we can overcome all the forces of darkness, we can stop him. Oh, Lord, thank you for these testimonies where that men and women have walked exactly where these men of old walked, where we have been had the privilege to walk there in our jobs. I did it, and many are doing it today. Help us, Lord, that all of us will do this. Lord, we thank you for this great and awesome privilege. So, Lord, thank you for giving us the privilege to come to the throne room of God and pray, knowing that you hear our prayers and that you send the Holy Ghost and angels to make things happen that we speak, because we're your ambassadors on this earth. I praise you and thank you for this day, Father, and thank you for this mighty word and all these scriptures you put in your word on faith and how we can get things done by faith in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.